Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the word of the day is failure. The definition of failure, according to Merriam-Webster, is a lack of success in some effort. The secondary definition of the word failure is a situation or occurrence in which something does not work as it should. The third definition for the word failure is an occurrence in which someone does not do something that should be done. Would you care to use the word failure in a sentence? Why, yes. Yes, I would. I wouldn't mind at all. Let's see. What's the best way I can use the word failure in a sentence? How can I accurately describe or convey the true meaning and definition of the word failure to someone listening to this podcast right now? Let me see. This is a real head scratcher right here. How do I accurately use the word failure in a sentence? Oh, I got it. I got it. Hold on. I got it. Let me see here. Let me give it a shot. Kyle Shanahan as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers is an absolute fucking failure. I mean, by definition, Kyle Shanahan's tenure as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers is a complete failure, a lack of success in some effort. Well, when you have a win-loss record now of 31 wins and 39 losses, that's a lack of success, a situation or occurrence in which something does not work as it should. When you're currently in the midst of a four-game losing streak in the 2021 NFL football season, that is a situation or occurrence in which something does not work as it should. An occurrence in which someone does not do something that should be done. So let's see here. The running game is working very well versus the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football. The running game, Elijah Mitchell in particular, is getting work done, so naturally we deviate from this and do the complete opposite. Instead of keeping the ball on the ground, we're going to have the 23rd best quarterback in the NFL try to air it out in the middle of a bomb cyclone, torrential downpour, serious rain out here in the California Bay Area, and wind, inclement weather, terrible, poor weather conditions for the football game played in Santa Clara at Levi Stadium last night. You know, it's so bad as I'm walking to work in the morning. As I've stated before in the podcast, I live about 15 minutes away from Levi Stadium and about 5 minutes from where I work at. I can literally walk to work. And as I'm walking to work yesterday morning, I noticed, well, I already knew the weather forecast. I knew it was going to rain. I knew it was going to rain hard. I knew a 100% chance of rain was in the forecast for Sunday, October 24th, 2021. So I'm walking to work. I'm getting hit by 25-mile-per-hour wind gusts. And it's raining hard as fuck. It's just coming down. It looks like that scene from Forrest Gump where he said the rain was coming up sideways and behind him and from the ground and above him. It's raining hard as fuck. As I'm walking to work, I said to myself, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have about 5 turnovers tonight. That was the first thing that popped in my head. As soon as I'm walking to work and I felt the wind gust and the rain, even before that, when I looked outside my window in the morning and I saw what the outside conditions were looking at, I said to myself, you know, the 49er game is going to be played 15 minutes away from where I'm living at right now. Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw a football on a warm, sunny day in clear conditions. He can't throw a football inside of a fucking dome. So what is he going to do in the middle of a bomb cyclone? He failed. Not only did he fail, his coach failed because his coach, as I already articulated, is an absolute and complete fucking failure as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. When you have a win-loss record of 31-39 during your tenure as a head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, when you lost 10 out of your last 11 home games, when you haven't won a home game at Levi Stadium since October 18th of last season, if we take away the 13-3 2019 season, the one winning season that Kyle Shanahan had, he is 18-34 as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. 18-34 if you take away the one winning season that he had. One winning season in 5 years, 31-39, lost 10 of the last 11 home games. Kyle Shanahan is a failure as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. There should be no argument against this. There should be no pushback against this. There should be no one who says anything to the contrary. If you do, you are a bootlicker. You are a sycophant. You are an ass kisser. You are delusional. You are full of shit. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Kyle Shanahan, by the numbers, is a failure as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Legendary Pro Football Hall of Famer head coach Bill Parcells so famously said, as a head coach, you are what your record says you are. If you're 31-39, do you know what that makes you? Say it with me one time. It makes you an absolute and complete fucking failure. Kyle Shanahan is an absolute and complete fucking failure as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I've seen way too many people today trying to give Kyle passes. Imagine that. Imagine being a 49er fan and still trying to give Kyle Shanahan passes. People were telling me, people on social media are saying, you know, why can't people just lighten up, man? Stop focusing on the negative, man. Be positive. You know, just focus on the good things. Be positive about things. The team is currently on a 4-game losing streak. What the fuck is there to be positive about? What the fuck are you talking about? Stop being delusional. You're on a 4-game losing streak. What is there to be positive about? The team isn't good. They're underachieving. They're underperforming. The team is poorly constructed. It's been 5 years of this. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have ruined the football team. They haven't made it any better. This team is back to being a joke. This team is undisciplined. Can't perform at home. Like I said, you lost 10 of the last 11 home games. They get their asses kicked on primetime every time they play it in primetime. One winning season in 5 years. No players have been developed. The draft picks have been abysmal. They've all been wasted or just not developed, like I said. No quarterback has been developed by the alleged quarterback guru and whisperer, Kyle Shanahan, who at no point in his career has ever made any quarterback better. Matt Ryan was already good. RG3, he got him hurt. He didn't really make him better. Every quarterback who's played for Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco has been hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt a lot. C.J. Beathard got hurt. Nick Mullins got hurt. Trey Lance, allegedly, right now, is hurt. Everyone who plays for Kyle Shanahan in this overly complicated offense that takes 2 or 3 years to learn. Meanwhile, your roster turns over every year, so you don't always have the same players you had the previous season. You're not going to run with the same 53 guys every year. So having a system that's so complicated, it takes 2 or 3 years to learn, is fucking stupid to begin with. He's a failure. Can we just say this now? Can we get this out the way? Can we stop lying to ourselves? Cut the mendacity out. Stop being mendacious in what you're saying. The organization is very mendacious in what they're saying. The organization sold the public, sold the fan base, this bill of goods, that this is a Super Bowl contending team. This is a potentially Super Bowl bound football team. Bullshit. This roster was predicated, the success of this roster, the success of this football team was predicated and dependent on injury-prone players not getting hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Jason Verrett, Raheem Mostert. These were the guys you were banking on to carry the football team throughout the season. These guys are some of the best players on the team. Deebo Samuel, too. He's not hurt right now, but he has gotten hurt a lot in the past. You were banking on Jimmy and George Kittle and Raheem Mostert and Jason Verrett to play a full 17-game schedule this season and not get hurt. Seriously, that's what this team was banking on this year, for injury-prone players to not get hurt. That's a stupid business model. That's a stupid strategy. You knew at some point these guys are going to get hurt. Super Bowl roster, where? Why? Because we got there 2 years ago. I've been saying this almost every 49er podcast I've done. Stop living in 2019. It's over. Let it go. It's 2 years ago. Just because you got to the Super Bowl and came within 8 minutes and 13 seconds of winning it doesn't mean you are guaranteed to get back to the Super Bowl the next season or the season after that. It doesn't work that way. Too many 49er fans, the organization itself, the players, I think were under the understanding or thought that the NFL is just going to automatically put the 49ers back in the Super Bowl and give them a 20-10 lead with 8 minutes, 13 seconds on the clock and give the 49ers a do-over. It doesn't work like that. You can't just go off the fact that you almost won 2 years ago and just say, well, all we got to do is bring everyone back. Just keep the core together and we can win. But you let go of DeForest Buckner, though. A Pro Bowl, All-Pro player, a team leader, a guy that Joe Staley came out yesterday on NBC Sports Bay Area and said he was disappointed because when Joe Staley retired, he had a conversation with DeForest Buckner. He told DeForest Buckner, you're going to be the next leader of this team. You're going to be the next locker room leader, the guy that everyone else in the team looks up to, the guy that galvanizes the entire team. You're going to be that guy. You're going to take my responsibility as being a leader of this football team. And then what do you know? DeForest Buckner got traded to the Indianapolis Colts. This organization is stupid. I've illustrated this plenty of times. I've articulated this plenty of times. This organization has failed on a number of levels. It's dumb, head-scratching decisions left and right. The handling of the quarterback situation in the offseason, remaining stagnant while the other three teams in your division all made moves to get better. You sat back and you watched Arizona bring in J.J. Watt and A.J. Green, both key contributors to a 7-0 undefeated Arizona Cardinal football team right now. And they just picked up Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles. You stood pat and you watched the Rams make a trade for Jalen Ramsey and then also go out and get Matt Stafford. You stood by and you watched the Seattle Seahawks bring in Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap. You stood there and you watched the other three teams in your division all get better while you told the public that all we got to do is keep everyone intact from 2019 except for the leader on defense. We'll let him go, but we could just replace him with Javon Kinlaw, a pretty good football player. But the scouting report that everyone saw, apparently, except for John Lynch, the scouting report on Javon Kinlaw was that he had bad knees. And what do you know? He's not playing right now because he has bad knees. Everyone knew this except for John Lynch. You were so arrogant to think that all you had to do was just draft another defensive tackle, as if DeForest Buckner is some random interchangeable part that can be replaced by any average Joe. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can come in and play nose tackle for the 49ers. You're going to let go an all-pro football player just because. This organization is stupid from the top down, from Jed York to John Lynch to Kyle Shanahan, everyone in between. It's a fucking organizational failure. And that's why you get what you get. That's why you get pitiful, uninspiring, depressing, deflating, just awful performance like you got last night against the Indianapolis Colts. That was a tragedy. It was something, you know, unfortunately, I saw it coming. I had a bad feeling about the game. Too many arrogant Niner fans running around out here saying, well, this is a must win. And this is a game we're going to win, right? I mean, Indianapolis isn't that good. They're only 2-3, 2-4 coming into the game. They're not that good. Carson Wentz sucks. He's not a good quarterback. They got a bunch of injuries on their side. T.Y. Hilton's not playing. One of their DBs tore an Achilles this week. Oh, this is a slam dunk. This is a layup. The Niners are going to win this game. They should win this game. This is an easy win for the Niners. That was the mood out here in the Bay Area. That's what I kept hearing from all the members of the faithful, air quotes around the word faithful. I kept hearing people say, this is an easy win, a gimme for the 49ers. They're going to win this game. They're going to beat Chicago next week. We're going to go on a playoff run. We got Jimmy back in the fold. You know, whenever Jimmy Garoppolo plays, the 49ers win, except for the last 14 games he's played for the 49ers, where he's 7-7 in those games. Not only is he 7-7, he has 16 total touchdowns, 15 total turnovers, yards per attempt of 7.73, and completed 65% of his passes in the last 14 games. 7-7. But all I keep hearing from the local media, from the national media, and stupid, dumbass, idiotic, nonsensical, foolish 49er fans is that every time Jimmy Garoppolo plays, we win. So what the fuck happened in Super Bowl 54? And what the fuck has happened in the last 14 games he's played where he's 500? Too many people thought this was a gimme, an easy win. They gave the Colts no credit and no respect. And look what happened. Indianapolis 30, San Francisco 18. You lost for the fourth time in a row, and things don't appear to be getting any better. The two wins the 49ers have this season came against two football teams who have a combined win-loss record of 2 wins and 12 losses. The 0-7 Detroit Lions, who the Niners had to hold on to barely beat in week 1, 41-33, and the 2-5 Philadelphia Eagles, another team the 49ers barely beat. 17-10 in week 2. Either way, it wasn't a very impressive win. They went almost the entire first half without getting a first down. They went the entire first quarter without getting a first down. And then weeks later, I sat back and watched the Dallas Cowboys put 44 on them. The Kansas City Chiefs put 42 on them. Tom Brady at 28 by halftime. The Eagles' defense is not that great, but they were great against the 49ers. Why? Because the 49ers suck. The coach sucks. The quarterback sucks. The play calling sucks. The execution sucks. The right side of the offensive line sucks. All the receivers not named Deebo Samuel, most of them suck. Mohamed Sanu sucks. Travis Benjamin sucks. The way they use Brandon Ayuk sucks. The way they don't use Trent Sherfield sucks. George Kittle is always hurt. The football team sucks. The offense sucks. The man who's the architect of the offense, the alleged genius, this football guru, this offensive savant, Kyle Shanahan, sucks at his job. Everyone sucks. Josh Norman, Dre Kirkpatrick are fucking dog shit. They suck. They're not good at their jobs. They are awful. They are woefully inept. They are abysmal. They are depressing to watch. They are a walking penalty flag. You can watch a 49er game. You can close your eyes and you can just envision the referee throwing a yellow penalty flag and then telling the crowd, announcing to everyone, pass interference, defense, number 26, ball will be placed at the spot of the foul, first down. That happens quite frequently with regularity. Pass interference on Josh Norman or Emmanuel Mosley or Jaquaski Tartt or Kaywan Williams, whoever's playing in the 49ers secondary, at some point is going to get flagged for a defensive pass interference because they're out of position or they're too slow or not athletic enough or just not good enough. They suck, the football team right now. The San Francisco 49ers, my beloved San Francisco 49ers. I don't say this because I want to. I say this because I have to. This is tough love. As I said before in a previous podcast, just because I like you doesn't mean I can't be honest with you. If you suck, you suck. If you're not getting the job done, you're not getting the job done. If you're a failure, you're a failure, an underachiever, you're an underachiever. If I look at you and I objectively watch and evaluate what you're doing and I see that what you're doing is below standard, I'm going to call it out. In a very explicit, forward, and direct way, I'm going to call it the fuck out. All that rah-rah Homer shit, all that faithful bullshit, I ain't with that. I already spoke about that on a previous podcast. If you want that type of shit, go somewhere else. You ain't going to get that over here. I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. All day, every day, and twice on Sunday. I can look at the 49ers and their game plan and their preparation or lack thereof for the game last night. As previously mentioned, it was inclement weather. It's something categorized as a bomb cyclone. I don't know exactly what that means. What I do know is that it means probably a lot of fucking rain. That's what we got all day yesterday out here in the Bay Area. Like I said, I live 15 minutes away from the stadium, so whatever the weather was for me was the same exact weather they had over there at Levi's Stadium. So, in anticipation for this, Kyle Shanahan had the 49ers running wet ball drills all last week. I'm positive he had the 49ers getting prepared for a football game in inclement weather by getting them ready to play and handle footballs that are wet. Pause if necessary. I'm pretty sure Kyle Shanahan had the guys running wet ball drills. Ooh, except he didn't. No, he did not. To the contrary, my friend. Why would you do something like that? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know you're about to play in a football game that has wet conditions, so it would make a lot of sense to practice with a wet football, but no, fuck all of that. That doesn't make any sense in the mind of Kyle Shanahan. And who am I to question the all-knowing Kyle Shanahan, our Lord and Savior Kyle Shanahan, the man who's forgotten more football than the rest of us will ever know? Who am I to assert that maybe it would have been a good idea for the 49ers to get acclimated to playing with a wet football by simulating wet football conditions during the week leading up to a game that's going to be played in the middle of a bomb cyclone? Heavy rain, torrential downpours. Maybe it would make some sense to take a bucket out there like Bill Belichick used to do for Tom Brady. You know, the New England Patriots, for so many years, they probably still do this. But I read so many stories back in the day about Bill Belichick taking a water bucket out to the field and dipping the football in the water bucket so Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, can get acclimated to playing in a football game with wet conditions by practicing during the week with a wet football. What a great idea that is. That's astounding. That's earth-shattering shit. You got to be a genius to even think about shit like that. And I was under the assumption that Kyle Shanahan was exactly that, that he's a genius. He's the smartest guy in the room. If you don't believe me, just ask Kyle. He'll tell you he's the smartest guy walking around right now. He's so smart, he doesn't have to prepare for a game being played in wet conditions by getting his football team, specifically his quarterback, acclimated to playing football and throwing a football in wet weather conditions. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady did it, but apparently Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, who have combined together to win zero Super Bowls, are smarter and more intelligent and better prepared than a coach and a quarterback who have combined to win six. Preparation, attention to detail, understanding situation and circumstance. These are things Kyle Shanahan has no clue about. When asked about doing wet ball drills in practice and simulating wet weather conditions, this is what the genius, the all-knowing Kyle Shanahan had to say about the matter. Quote, "I bring it up and talk to players about it," Shanahan told NBC Sports Bay Area. "So they're all thinking about it mentally so they can get ready however it affects them. I know, at least when I played football, when I thought about the rain, that's when I dropped everything. So I try not to think about it and try to catch it at the same time, try to do stuff. And I always felt mentally that was a lot better. You always thought it might slip and stuff, and you get soft with your hands, then it slipped. So I think each quarterback is different. Some guys can throw it in the rain, some guys can't. I think Jimmy does. He doesn't have a problem with it, which I think always gives you an advantage. But you go back to John Elway. Elway could throw in the freezing snow, he could do it all. But if it started raining out there, he really struggled. So it's different, and when that happens, you've got to adjust, and you've got to see how it changes everyone. But I think we'll be all right." End quote. That's a direct quote from our head coach, the San Francisco 49ers, the all-knowing, almighty Kyle Shanahan. Here now is my reaction to that quote from Kyle Shanahan. Hold on a second. Are you fucking serious? Are you shitting me right now? You cannot be serious with that quote. You don't see the need to warm up and prepare with a wet football in anticipation of playing a game in something described as a bomb cyclone. 100% chance of rain Sunday, October 24th, 2021 in Santa Clara, California at Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. 100% chance of rain, and you saw no need whatsoever to prepare your football team to play in those conditions. And people tell me that a guy with that mindset, this is the same guy that said no to Tom Brady. This is the same guy that said Tom Brady is only marginally better than Jimmy Garoppolo. This same person is the guy that everyone keeps telling me I need to fall back on and just trust and understand his direction and trust the process and let the professionals handle it. And who are you to question it? You're a couch GM. You just play Madden all the time. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. This is what people tell me. You're being overly negative, snarky, cynical. Oh, you don't like anything. I've heard this my entire life, but in regards to the 49ers, I've heard this for the past couple of years when all I do is speak openly, honestly, and freely about this team. All I do is call out flagrant, rampant, apparent, abundant bullshit. This coach didn't think it'd be a good idea to practice and prepare with wet footballs, knowing damn well there's a 100% chance of rain on game day. And this is the guy that everyone tells me we should just trust and rely on and understand his vision. That we can't fire him. We can't possibly lose that guy. There's no way. We can't even function. The 49ers should just close the doors. They should just cease to exist as a football team if they let go of Kyle Shanahan. Shut the fuck up. Just shut up. It's clear. It's right there in front of you. You don't need to look to your left. Don't look to your right. Look directly ahead. Tunnel vision. Like Jimmy Garoppolo said on Instagram leading up to the game. How'd that tunnel vision work out, Jimmy? It's right there in front of you. It's so easy to see. Kyle Shanahan is either trying to get fired or delusional or just fucking stupid or high off of bath salts. He's smoking pencil sharpener shavings rolled up in an index card, dipped in embalming fluid. He's high. He's hanging out with Demi Lovato in his off time. He's high. He's under the influence. He's on narcotics. He's abusing substances. There's no way you can think this is a good idea. Any coach, coaches obsessed about preparation to detail and trying to cover, leave no stone uncovered. We're going to cross every T and dot every I. We're going to make sure we got everything accounted for getting ready for this game on Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whenever the fuck the game's being played. Every coach I thought was wired like that. This guy said, nah, man, I think Jimmy can do it. Meanwhile, Jimmy goes in this game as 3 turnovers. So apparently Jimmy can't handle a football that's wet. He had 3 turnovers, 2 picks and 1 fumble. But you thought he can handle the weather conditions on Sunday. Kyle Shanahan's trash, man. Let's call it what it is, man. Stop beating around the bush. Stop bullshitting. This dude is trash. Overrated. Had a spark when you started, but now you're just garbage. Fell from top 10 to not mention at all. Ay, ay, ay. Let's talk about the actual game itself. Let's finally get into the game. NBC Sunday Night Football. Indianapolis Colts. San Francisco 49ers. The great, legendary Al Michaels on hand for commentary alongside Chris Collinsworth. Big game, national stage, most of the country's watching. This is a chance to get right coming out of a bye week. 2 weeks of preparation to get ready for a 2-win football team. This was an opportunity for the 49ers to get back on track and win a must-win football game. You come in with a 3-game losing streak, you have to win this game. If you want to salvage your season, if you want to maintain those playoff hopes, you have to win this game coming out of a bye week versus a 2-win football team. Everything is on the line. Season is on the line in this game. And the Niners came out hot, as predicted. A lot of people thought so. Like I said, 2 weeks of preparation, plenty of time to script your first 15 plays from scrimmage. And Kyle Shanahan did an excellent job of that. The first drive was vintage Kyle Shanahan. That's the Kyle that we all know and love. That's the Kyle that we all enjoyed in 2019 as one of the premier play callers in the National Football League 2 years ago. Not so much anymore. But that first drive is Indianapolis. You saw play action. You saw rollouts. You saw bootlegs. You saw misdirection. The Colts were on their heels. They had no clue what the fuck was coming. You saw all the things that you didn't see 2 weeks ago for Trey Lance. Funny how that works. You saw a very quarterback-friendly playbook, play calling being exercised in this game, but that's a different story. But it worked, and Elijah Mitchell won that first drive and ran like a madman, ran like a slave trying to escape to the north. He had 70 yards rushing in the first quarter. They had a touchdown run in the first quarter to make it 7-0 49ers. Colts have possession. Their star running back, Jonathan Taylor, has the ball punched out by Josh Norman, who did something positive for once. He punched the ball out, forces a fumble. 49ers get the ball back and settle for a field goal. And actually, I got to take back what I said. Initially, it was not 7-0. It was 6-0 because Justin Sly, the new field goal kicker filling in for Robbie Gould, missed the extra point. So it was 6-0. Niners get the ball back after the fumble. He kicks a 54-yard field goal, makes that. It's now 9-0. Indianapolis comes back in the following possession. Carson Wentz throws a deep ball down the field to Michael Pittman. He's interfered with by Josh Norman, number 26. The ball is spotted at the place of the foul. 2 plays later, Carson Wentz throws a touchdown pass to Mo Alley Cox, one of the best names in pro football. Mo Alley Cox scores a touchdown for the Indianapolis Colts to make it 9-7 San Francisco. San Francisco kicks another field goal to make it 12-7. And this is when all hell broke loose. This is when the game officially slipped away from the 49ers. It's 9-7 San Francisco. After the first drive, they stalled out, bottomed out, couldn't get anything going. A couple of three and outs. Had to settle for a field goal twice. Just couldn't get anything going. On a third down play, Garoppolo completes a pass to Deebo Samuel, 3rd and 12. Fighting for extra yardage, he's held up by two Indianapolis Colts defenders. And then Darius Leonard, the all-world middle linebacker, one of the best middle linebackers in pro football. He and Fred Warner, the opposite middle linebacker in this game, two of the best middle linebackers in pro football. Darius Leonard comes through with a peanut punch. Word to my man Charles Tillman, the Chicago Bears many years ago. Peanut punch by Darius Leonard knocks the ball out from Deebo Samuel. Indianapolis recovers. And about the 40-yard line, they're in business. Carson Wentz throws another deep pass. This was a trend throughout the night. Just throw it deep. Somebody in a red jersey is going to commit a pass interference, and you'll get the ball 30 or 40 or 50 yards downfield. Good strategy. It worked for Indianapolis many times throughout the game. And this time, it was Emmanuel Mosley who was the victim of bad defensive play. Pass interference in the end zone, ball spotted at the 1 yard line. Carson Wentz runs an RPO or run pass option and keeps the football. He beats Emmanuel Mosley around the edge to score a touchdown. Now it's 13-12 going into halftime. The 49ers were booed off the field going into halftime. I felt like a lot of fans were upset that the Niners weren't more aggressive or trying to score more points at the end of the first half. I actually agree with Kyle on this one. I was actually, as I was watching the game, was saying, just be conservative. Just take it into the halftime, into the locker room, down 13-12. Don't try to make a play happen because you're probably going to have a turnover. I don't trust Jimmy. It's wet. It's raining hard. You know, obviously, you haven't practiced with a wet football during the week, which is fucking asinine. Just don't take any chances. Take a knee going to halftime, 13-12, with the weather being what it is. Just fall back, relax, take it easy. You're only down one. Don't make this any worse than what it already is. I thought it was a good decision, but the 40,000, 45,000 people in attendance booed Kyle Shanahan. Maybe they were just pissed off at the performance in the first half, how you scored on the first drive, had to settle for field goals on two other drives, one of which you had good field positioning after a turnover, how the offense, for some reason, inexplicably, Kyle Shanahan deviates from things that are working on the first drive, stops running the football. Elijah Mitchell stops getting the football. Trey Sermon also doesn't touch it. You just give up on the run game for no reason whatsoever and try to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo to drop back and beat the Indianapolis Colts defense. As terrible as the Colts secondary is, the rain neutralized all of that. And Jimmy's a terrible quarterback in the first place. So Jimmy, you know, even with the Colts secondary not being that good, Jimmy isn't that good, so he can't exploit that. It doesn't matter how terrible the Colts' secondary and defense is overall. So it's 13-12 Indianapolis going into halftime. They come out the locker room. Fast forward to about the middle towards the later stages of the third quarter. Jimmy Garoppolo fumbles the football on third down, down 13-12. Colts get the ball back. Pocket collapsing, Garoppolo under pressure. As pointed out numerous times on this Dion Gordon podcast, Jimmy Garoppolo has zero pocket presence, no awareness of what's going on around him, is holding the football like a loaf of bread, no care, no thought, no regards to what's occurring around him, all the bodies swarming in around him, all the white jerseys closing in on him. He's holding the football in a reckless fashion, fumbles the football. Indianapolis recovers to get the ball back. Carson Wentz takes a shot downfield to Michael Pittman. Again, another pass interference, this time on Jaquaski Tartt, number 3 for the 49ers. A few plays later, Jonathan Taylor takes it in from the 5-yard line and make it 20-12, Indianapolis. Jimmy comes through with the second good drive of the game. Right after that, the answer right back. You can always count on Jimmy Garoppolo to have two good drives per game. He can't put together a solid 60 minutes of good football, but he can give you about one or two good drives every week to kind of get your hopes up a little bit, to kind of make you think, okay, Jimmy, you got something. You can play quarterback in a competent way. You're not 100% trash. You're like 88% trash, but you're not 100% garbage. You have some skill, some ability. You can do some things. And on this drive, he was awesome. Hit a deep pass downfield to Deebo Samuel. Hit another deep pass downfield to Charlie Warner. And then hit Deebo Samuel with the goal line for a touchdown. And they go for two. The ball's batted down at the line of scrimmage. So it's 20-18 Indianapolis. Colts take the ball back in the fourth quarter all the way down the field to settle for a field goal to make it 23-18. It's still 23-18. The game is within reach. You have an opportunity to win this football game. It's not over. You played like shit most of the night. The play calling was weird. You had special teams miscues with Brandon Ayuk kicking the ball into the back of the end zone. You couldn't get anything going offensively. Your defense is committing pass interference calls left and right. Your defense is dropping interceptions. There was about four passes that Carson Wentz threw last night that should have been picked off. Three of them, at least, by Emmanuel Mosley. You dropped some easy interceptions, but like I said, you don't work on wet ball drills during the week, and this is what happens. You don't get your players accustomed and acclimated to playing football with a wet football, and what do you get? You get defensive players dropping picks, you get receivers dropping passes, and you get a quarterback who can't handle the football in sunny, clear conditions, making more mistakes now that it's wet outside. He fumbled a snap in this game. He had a fumble. He had two interceptions. He couldn't handle the football. He had to put on two gloves because he couldn't do shit with a wet football. Maybe he should have practiced on a wet football during the week, but I digress. Either way, it's 23-18 Indianapolis with 5:13 left to go. 49ers have the football. They're on the move. It's about 3rd and 7. Pre-snap, Charlie Warner, the backup third-string tight end, goes in motion, number 89, to the bottom of the screen as you're watching it from the broadcast angle and the all-22 coaches tape. He goes in motion. Now there's three wide receivers at the bottom of the screen. It's three-by-one formation. Three receivers at the bottom, one receiver, Deebo Samuel, at the top, matched up in one-on-one coverage with Colts defensive back Xavier Rhodes, who had to exit earlier with a leg injury, but he came back into the game. Colts defense has one player playing single-high safety about 30 yards off the ball in the middle of the field. To the bottom of the screen, as I said, Charlie Warner, Mohamed Sanu, Trent Sherfield. Mohamed Sanu is lined up in the slot. He's going to run a post pattern on this play. When he runs this post pattern, he's running into the middle of the field where the Colts safety that was playing single high safety over the top has vacated the middle of the field. He's gone from that spot. Mohamed Sanu is wide the fuck open on this play after the ball is snapped. But Jimmy Garoppolo had already made up his mind where he's going with the football. Pre-snap, he already determined, I'm going to Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel was targeted more in this game than almost five other 49er receivers combined. To be exact, of Garoppolo's 27 throws, 11 went to Deebo Samuel. That's 40.7% targets went to one player, Deebo Samuel. The second-year receiver caught 11 of those targets for 100 yards and a touchdown. He's up to 648 yards this season, only 154 yards shy of his career-high 802 that he set in 2019, and he already has four touchdown catches on the season. As previously mentioned, he had a touchdown catch in the third quarter to close the score to 20-18. But Jimmy locks in on Deebo Samuel pre-snap, and the safety that was playing single high is cheating over to that side of the field, because they've seen this on tape and they know the tendencies and they know that Jimmy's going to be looking for Deebo Samuel more than anybody else. So that safety is cheating over to that side of the field. And as I said, when he does that, he leaves the middle of the field wide open. If Jimmy had thrown the ball to Mohamed Sanu, he would have walked into the end zone. He could have caught a trolley car from San Francisco to Santa Clara and scored a touchdown. But Jimmy didn't even look that direction. He locks in on Deebo Samuel, throws it to the inside as Xavier Rhodes has inside leverage on this play. The ball bounces off of Deebo Samuel's chest. Now, you could say he should have caught it. Like I said, it bounced off his chest. He should have caught it, but still, the ball shouldn't have been thrown there in the first place. It was an inaccurate throw. Jimmy should have thrown it to the outside. As I said, Xavier Rhodes had inside leverage. And by the time Jimmy let go of this football, there's four white jerseys over there in the vicinity of Deebo Samuel. The ball bounces off his chest, bounces up in the air. Xavier Rhodes makes the pick, takes it down the sideline. Initially, it was ruled as a touchdown. It's a pick six. Upon further review, it was revealed that his left foot, the back of his heel, has stepped out of bounds and then respotted the ball at the 30-yard line. Either way, the Colts took it away from the 49ers, and they took the hearts away from the 49ers in this game. They took the playoff hopes away from the 49ers on that play. The season ended on that play. The 49ers' 2021 season came to a screeching halt. It finished. It ended right there on that play. A few plays later, the Colts gave the 49ers a 1986 Mike Tyson uppercut and knocked them the fuck out when Carson Wentz threw a touchdown pass down the field to 6'4" receiver Michael Pittman, who destroyed Dre Kirkpatrick on this play. And why is Dre Kirkpatrick on the fucking field to begin with? You drafted two defensive backs in the 2021 NFL draft. Diamador Lenore, who started and played the first two games. Oh, by the way, those are the only two games the 49ers have won, but he's not been in the lineup ever since. You drafted Ambry Thomas. He hasn't touched the field since week one. What was the point of drafting two defensive backs in this year's draft if you're going to use two washed up, past their prime veterans who don't have it anymore in Josh Norman and Dre Kirkpatrick? Why are these people on the field? Those two, Alex Mack, Mohamed Sanu, Travis Benjamin, a number of guys would not even be on the They wouldn't be in the NFL right now if it wasn't for Kyle Shanahan. They're not that good. No one else wants them except for Kyle because he either used to work with him back in the day or they have a familiarity with his system. That's what it's all about with Kyle. Do you know the system? And I'd rather play with a bunch of veterans because they're still so delusional. They think the 49ers are going to make the playoffs this year. No, they're not. There's 11 games left in the season. You're currently 2-4. You're probably going to need about 10 wins to make the playoffs this year. The 49ers are not going to win 8 out of the last 11 games to make the playoffs. That's not happening. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I hate to rain on someone's parade. But fuck it. Someone has to be honest around here and tell the truth. The 49ers are not going to win 8 of the last 11 games and miraculously make the playoffs. That's not happening. So why are you going out there with these useless, pathetic, washed up, past their prime veterans who don't have it anymore, under the false assumption that these people give you the best chance to win to try to make the playoffs? No, the fuck they don't. 49ers get the ball back. It's 30-18, less than 2 minutes to go. The game's already over. Jimmy Garoppolo, just for good measure, throws another interception. This time, he tried to go to Juwan Jennings on a deep crosser down the middle of the field and gets picked off. He throws in the triple coverage. Four open receivers on this play. Once again, you go back and look at this play pre-snap. Colts are in cover two defense. They got 5 men in the zone intermediate, 2 men in the zone on the back end, playing on the opposite sides of the field, shading towards the sideline. The middle of the field is wide open. On this play, Trent Sherfield runs a post pattern. He's wide open. No one's around him. Charlie Warner's open. Trey Sermon is open. Mohamed Sanu is open. Four people are open on this 5-man route. And who's Jimmy Garoppolo decide to throw the football to? The one guy that's covered by four fucking people, Juwan Jennings. And the ball gets intercepted. Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast said, whoops, when Jimmy Garoppolo threw the football. If a commentator is saying the word whoops when you throw a football, that's not a good thing. And people could say, well, it was wet. The ball slipped out of his hands. Once again, if you had practiced during the week throwing the wet football, you might not have these problems. But I don't care about the ball being wet and slipping out of his hands. I care about the decision-making, which is what I've been questioning about Jimmy Garoppolo for about 3 or 4 years now. Since 2018, the year before the Super Bowl run, I've been critical of Jimmy Garoppolo, and the two biggest traits that I feel like a quarterback needs to have to be successful are accuracy and decision-making. And those are the two traits more than anything else that Jimmy Garoppolo struggles with, accuracy and decision-making. This was a stupid, poor decision to throw it down the middle of the field to a receiver that was covered by four fucking people. And with that, the game was over. Indianapolis 30, San Francisco in a very just soul-crushing, deflating, depressing loss. I mean, the weather was an accurate reflection of how it feels to be a 49er fan right now. Just miserable. Just awful. Just sad. This team had hopes and aspirations to go to the Super Bowl this year. I didn't think that, but I said at least they should be able to win somewhere between 11 and 13 games and make the playoffs. Maybe possibly win the division. I didn't think that could happen either because I know how tough the NFC West is with Arizona and the Rams. But I was like, well, they can win 11 games this year and make the playoffs as a wild card team. Because coming into the season, I knew that Kyle Shanahan has to win this year. You got to have a winning season this year. You got to make some noise. You got to make a playoff push and make the playoffs this year when you've only had one winning season throughout your entire tenure as head coach in the 49ers. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. Like I said, if they want to make the playoffs, they got to win 8 out of the last 11 games. That's unrealistic. That's unrealistic. They might win next week versus Chicago. Who knows? But the 49ers are not good enough for anyone to look at the schedule and say, well, that's a win. That's a win. Or they can beat them. Or they can beat Chicago. They can beat Jacksonville. Before the season started, people thought the Cincinnati game was an easy game. The Bengals are 5-2 and just mollywopped the Ravens yesterday. 41-17, they kicked the Ravens' ass. And the Ravens are another good football team that's also better than the 49ers. So Cincinnati is no longer an easy game. The Chicago game, like I said, the Niners aren't good enough to just look at the schedule and just pencil in a victory. Jacksonville could beat us. I could see that happening. The Jaguars can beat the 49ers. The Bears can beat the 49ers. Minnesota could beat the 49ers. They're better than we are right now. The only game on the schedule I would feel some type of confidence about is the Houston Texans late in the season. Still got to play the Rams twice. Got to play the Cardinals again. Where are these 8 wins going to come from to somehow make the playoffs? It's not going to happen. More bad news for the 49ers. The hits just keep on coming. Kyle Shanahan today in a press conference or a teleconference, whatever, spoke to the media and said that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter this week for the Chicago game. In the post game, in the immediate aftermath of the loss to Indianapolis on Sunday, when asked about Jimmy Garoppolo being the starting quarterback going forward, Kyle Shanahan said, "I guess so." Not exactly a ringing endorsement. Not exactly reflective of a coach who's confident and assertive in what he's doing, because Kyle Shanahan's not. He looks like a broken man. He looks like his wife just left him. He's on his second marriage now. His dog ran away. You know, he's going through a midlife crisis. He looks like shit. John Lynch does too. They're feeling it. They know they're on the hot seat, and they should be on the hot seat because they haven't accomplished anything in the 5 years they've been here. In John Lynch's case, he shouldn't have been hired in the first place. He had no experience whatsoever being a general manager. Hall of Fame player, one of the best safeties I've ever seen play football. Well-deserving of that gold jacket he got in Canton, Ohio a few months ago. Awesome football player was John Lynch. After he was done playing football, went to go work for Fox as a commentator, and then got a job as a general manager for the San Francisco 49ers with no front office experience at any point in his life. And now 5 years later, after 5 awful, terrible, shitty NFL drafts that he was the architect of, working in lockstep with Kyle Shanahan, both men know they're on the hot seat. Kyle even acknowledged it after the game when he was asked, "Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel like you should be on the hot seat?" He said, "Yes." I give him credit for that answer. For once, Kyle Shanahan showed some accountability. For once, he took ownership of it. He knows his seat's getting warm right now. He knows there's plenty of people like myself who are advocating for this man to lose his job at the end of the season. I ain't saying fire him right now, but at the end of the season, if they're 6-11, 7-10, 5-12, I see no reason to bring him back. He and John Lynch, fire both of them. If you have a losing record, if you once again, for the 4th time out of 5 years, have double-digit losses, why should you be brought back? Why should fans trust that you can rebuild it going forward when you already had 5 years to rebuild it and you fucked it up and didn't do that? Outside of one season where you got lucky and caught lightning in a bottle and took advantage of an easy early season schedule against bad quarterbacks like Case Keenum, Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston, who had 30 interceptions that year, 33 touchdown passes as well, but also 30 interceptions. Andy Dalton, you know, young Baker Mayfield, who wasn't that good in 2019, wasn't good at all, really. Jared Goff, same thing, not that good. Kyle Allen for the Carolina Panthers. These are the quarterbacks the 49ers played early in the season in 2019. You took advantage of an easy schedule and bad quarterback play to run up a good 7-0, 8-0 record, and then took off from there and was able to carry that forward and get to the Super Bowl and that opportunity you had to win it in this once-in-a-lifetime season with a top-5 defense and top-5 running game. You squandered it. You fucked it away in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, where in that fourth quarter, Jimmy Garoppolo was 3 out of 15, 36 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 pick, quarterback rating of 15.8. The 49ers lost Super Bowl 54 and have been in complete tailspin ever since that game, ever since that moment when Kansas City came back from down 20-10 with 8.5 to go in the fourth quarter and won the game 31-20. The 49er organization, the 49er fan base, and many of the 49er players never recovered from that. They are still mentally in Miami, Florida, at Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday, February 2nd, 2020. They're still there mentally. they really believe the NFL was just going to give them a do-over, a mulligan. So here, try it again. We'll give you a 20-10 lead. Just try it again. Don't fuck it up this time. They've been in a complete tailspin ever since that, thinking that all we got to do is tinker with the roster a little bit here and there, keep everyone together, reward people with fat-ass contracts off of one good season, knowing that they have an injury history. But here you go. Just take all this money anyway, George Kittle. Take all this money and don't play football for us for the rest of your career. Play a couple of games here and there and then sit out double-digit games throughout the season, like George Kittle does, like Jason Verrett does, like Jimmy Garoppolo did last season. And then you fast forward to the game Sunday night versus Indianapolis on NBC Sunday Night Football, and you get the culmination of 5 years of complete ineptitude and laziness and stagnation and stupid player personnel decisions and lack of development for all the players that have been drafted in the past 5 years. No quarterbacks being developed. You get the culmination of 5 years of dumbass shit. It all comes to a head in front of the entire country. The whole world's watching NBC Sunday night on a cold, wet, dreary, miserable night in Santa Clara. A terrible, miserable football team shits the bed when they had 2 weeks of preparation coming out of a bye week to play against a 2-4 football team, and they go out there and get their asses handed to them 30-18. Embarrassing. Completely and absolutely embarrassing. You know what else was embarrassing? Probably the most embarrassing part of the game the entire night. And there was plenty of embarrassing moments for the 49ers, but this one stole the show. This took the cake. This was so mind-numbingly stupid. When Kyle Shanahan threw that challenge flag on the fumble by Jonathan Taylor, it was 4th-and-1, third quarter, Indianapolis up 13-12. They go for it on 4th-and-1 in midfield. He obviously converts the fourth down. He gets the ball punched out by Josh Norman again. Second time in the game, Josh Norman punched the ball away from Jonathan Taylor. The ball's on the field. Indianapolis clearly recovers the football. They're about to line up for the next play on 1st-and-10 after they just converted the fourth down play. Kyle Shanahan inexplicably, moronically throws a challenge flag on this play. He wants this play to be reviewed. What the fuck are you reviewing? He clearly got the first down. He clearly fumbled it. They clearly recovered it. What are you reviewing on this play, Kyle? What the fuck are you trying to review? He said in the post game, someone told him to review it. What do you mean someone told you? Every football stadium is a giant-ass video screen in the stadium. I've been to Levi's Stadium many times. I can tell you this personally. You can vouch for this. Anytime a big play happens in the stadium, as a fan, you look up at the giant-ass Jumbotron. That's on the north side of the stadium, I think. That's opposite from where the player locker rooms are at. That's either north or south, whatever. It's a giant fucking video screen inside of Levi's Stadium. You don't need someone in your headset to tell you to challenge a play because they thought it was a fumble. Look up at the fucking video screen. That'll tell you right then and there. Have the presence of mind. Have the awareness. Be cognizant of your surroundings. You're in an NFL football stadium. There's a giant fucking video screen in the stadium. Just look at that. This was clearly a fumble, clearly a first down, clearly a recovery by the Indianapolis Colts. What are you trying to review here? All you did was throw away a timeout that you probably could have used late in the game. You threw away a timeout for no reason because you thought you saw something because someone told you they thought they saw something. He's worthless. That right there is a microcosm of how stupid and inept he is as a head coach. He's worthless. What are you here for, dude? You had 2 weeks to get ready for a 2-win football team. A dome football team at that. A dome football team came outside and played in hellacious conditions and kicked your team's ass. And I still can't reconcile not practicing during the week with a wet football. I can't get over that. Once again, I live in the California Bay Area. It barely rains out here. Nobody on that team is accustomed to dealing with a wet football. They don't get any practice with it. It never rains out here. Only certain times of the year. And this time of the year, it rains a little bit. So practice for it. So get ready for it. Be prepared. I can't reconcile that. That's unconscionable to me. How are you not prepared? With 2 weeks of preparation, how do you go 1-for-11 on third down? For the season now, San Francisco was 22 out of 70 on third downs this season on offense. That's terrible. Speaking of terrible, Jimmy Garoppolo, 16 out of 27, 181 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, and a fumble. Sucks, man. I've been saying this for the longest time. Jimmy Garoppolo sucks. Like I said, the 23rd best quarterback in the NFL. And this is a guy that Kyle wants to go to the post-game news conference and say gives us the best opportunity to win. This is the guy that I'd say about 40% of the fan base believes gives us the best opportunity to win. No, he doesn't. No, he's showing you. He's being exposed this season without a dominant defense and a dominant running game. He's a very basic, average, rudimentary quarterback. He's nothing. He poses no threat to the defense. He still can't read coverage. Brandon Ayuk was open several times downfield. He doesn't even look his direction. All this talk about Ayuk being in the doghouse because he doesn't practice hard enough, doesn't run his routes hard enough, doesn't block well enough. There were several times Brandon Ayuk is wide open down the field. Jimmy's not even looking for him. He runs a double move, a corner post, in about the second quarter of the game. Loses the safety in the middle of the field. Spins him around like a total 180-360. He has no clue where Brandon Ayuk is at. Ayuk is wide open in the middle of the field. Nothing but green grass in front of him. The ball doesn't come his way. Now, Ross Dwelley gets blown up in pass protection on his play and gets called for a hold penalty, a holding penalty. And the guy he's trying to block hits Garoppolo and knocks the ball out of his hands. The ball bounces up. Deebo Samuel comes in and rescues the football, catches it for a 13-yard gain, but the play is nullified because of the holding penalty on Ross Dwelley. But still, slide to your left, slide to your right, wherever you got to go. Make some subtle movements in the pocket. Buy yourself some time, get some space, and throw a pass downfield to Brandon Ayuk and get a big play. But he can't do that because he's not a good quarterback. He's not a good quarterback, and Kyle Shanahan is not a good coach, and John Lynch is not a good general manager, and the San Francisco 49ers are not a good football team. This is reality. This is where you're at. You want to be faithful, or do you want to be real? You want to be a loyal, obsequious bootlicker, or do you want to be an honest person and objectively call what the fuck you're seeing? This is not a good football team. It's not a good organization. This is a team that has had a losing record in 14 of the last 18 seasons. One winning season since 2013, one playoff appearance since 2013. Every other year outside of 2019 has finished with double-digit losses. This is not a good organization. Projecting forward, as I said earlier, Kyle was going to roll with Jimmy Garoppolo for one more week at least. Jimmy will get the start this week versus the Chicago Bears. Trey Lance, who has a fraudulent knee injury, will not play apparently, will barely even practice this week. You know, you're 2-4, Kyle and Jimmy and the rest of the organization still holding on to this faint hope that they can make the playoffs, and that this ridiculous notion that Jimmy Garoppolo gives us the best chance to make the playoffs. No, he doesn't, like I said earlier, but this is what Kyle thinks. He's the head coach. He's going to die on his sword. Roll out with Jimmy Garoppolo. If Jimmy fails, he fails. He doesn't realize that. Trey Lance needs to be on the field. It's a lost season. You're not going anywhere this year. I can't make that any more clear than what I already have. Why not use the rest of the season to grow and develop not just Trey Lance, but Aaron Banks, Trey Sermon, Ambry Thomas, Deamador Lenore, Talanoa Hufanga, Jalen Moore, all your draft picks, because next season you don't have a first-round draft pick because of the Trey Lance trade in 2023. The draft after next year, you also don't have a draft pick in the first round because of Trey Lance. You have very limited draft capital, so why not use this time now in a lost season to grow and develop the players you already drafted and try to make them better for the future? That's where the focus needs to be. This season's a lost cause. The focus needs to be on next season and everything beyond that going forward. Get Trey Lance ready to play football. That should be the focal point of the organization. It should be out with the old, in with the new. Jimmy Garoppolo's in the past. He's already peaked. He's never going to get any better than what he already is. He's not even good now. This is the best Jimmy Garoppolo he can possibly present. It's not good at all. He's a relic. He's an antique. He's a thing of the past. He's outdated. He's a DVD player. He's a two-way pager. He's a payphone. He's Blockbuster Video. He's outdated. Trey Lance is Netflix. Jimmy Garoppolo is Blockbuster Video. He's a thing of the past. Move forward with what's going on right now. I can accept Trey Lance making rookie mistakes because, well, you know, he's a rookie. Jimmy Garoppolo's an 8-year veteran still making rookie mistakes. I can deal with Trey Lance throwing in the triple coverage. I can deal with Trey Lance making mistakes, turning the ball over, missing his reads, not even seeing the player wide open down the field. I can deal with that. He's new. He's a rookie. He hasn't played football in 2 years. I can live with that. I expect him to make mistakes, but the 8-year pro, he should be better, but he's not. He's never going to be any better. I can deal with Ambry Thomas and Diamador Lenore making pass interference penalties, getting flagged multiple times throughout the entire game, making mistakes, having breakdowns and technique, getting beat on deep passes down the field. I can deal with that from those two guys. They're rookies. They're supposed to fuck up. They're supposed to make mistakes. It's part of the process. It's how you learn, how you get better. Dre Kirkpatrick, Josh Norman, they're never going to get better. They've already peaked, similar to Garoppolo. They're in their 30s. They're on the wrong side of 30. This is the best they can possibly give you. Who would you rather see stinking it up out there at corner position? A young rookie who has a future ahead of him, or a washed-up veteran whose best days are behind him? What is the point of playing Josh Norman and Dre Kirkpatrick? Where is Ambry Thomas? Where is Diamador Lenore? Start playing your young guys. Get them ready for the future. But since, you know, it's difficult to say, does Kyle even see himself in the future of the 49ers? Does he even want to be here anymore? His body language says no. Who knows? Is he going to be here next year? Is Jed York going to have the balls to fire this guy if he has another double-digit loss season? He should. Will he? Probably not. He just signed him to a contract extension 2 years ago. Based off of one winning season, Kyle Shanahan got a contract extension. Because that's how this organization rolls. They just give away money. All you need is one good year. Here, take this big bag of money with a dollar sign on it. Take all these millions of dollars because it's one good year you had. But at the same time, the Yorks, the family that owns the 49ers, they're billionaires. That contract ain't going to hurt them. They can fire Kyle Shanahan tomorrow and pay him everything he's owed. It's not going to hurt their bottom line. They print money over there. People still go to the games. People still buy the merchandise. The 49ers are one of the top 10 most lucrative organizations in the NFL. They make money over there. You're in Silicon Valley. You got this big, fancy, brand-new stadium, only 7 years old. Y'all print money over there with Jerry Rice and Steve Young's picture on it, and Joe Montana, too. You know, I wish I could be more positive and optimistic, but like I said, man, you're on a 4-game losing streak. What the fuck is there to be positive about? Nothing. They're not good, and they're not going to get any better anytime soon, especially with this current regime in place. I strongly, firmly believe they all should be fired. They've had 5 years to fix it. They didn't get it done. You have five years is a long time in the NFL. It's a long time in life, period. 5 years is a long time. It's a big window to get shit right, to turn your life around, to make things better for yourself or in this capacity as a football GM, as a football coach. 5 years is an eternity to build a quality football team, and they haven't done that. A consistently good team that makes the playoffs on a regular basis, a perennial contender. They haven't done that. Sean McVay, been with the Rams for about 5 or 6 years. The Rams are in the playoffs every year. Sean McDermott with the Buffalo Bills, same thing. He turned that organization around. He's been there for 5 years. The Bills are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They were a contender last season. They're a contender this season, too. Back-to-back years of good football for the Buffalo Bills. The 49ers can't say that. At what point do we start being honest and making an assertive grown man decision to say, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. If we get to the end of the season and you're 7-10, 6-11, 5-12, fire Kyle Shanahan and fire John Lynch. And let go of Jimmy Garoppolo, blow this whole thing up, and start all over again. Go out and find a coach that can coach Trey Lance and fix his problems and work on his fundamentals and grow and develop him into a great NFL quarterback, which he has the potential to be. Get someone with a proven track record of developing quarterbacks, and let's get the ball rolling and stop fucking around. I don't know, but that's all I got for now about this fucking fiasco known as the San Francisco 49ers. You know, it's a gut punch when you see your favorite team just suck that badly. Just come out there and just lay an egg like that, as they've done all season. When you see it with your own eyes, you know, really for me, week two against Philadelphia was when I was like, this is not a good team. When they couldn't put them away, when they couldn't score points against an average Philadelphia football team, I saw it right then and there. And then the home opener versus Green Bay, that confirmed it. When you're down 17-0, you're kind of just holding on. And, you know, you get some fluke bounces here and there. You get back into the game. The Seattle game, that really confirmed it. When you outgain your opponent 218-7 and only have 7 points to show for it, like, you're just not good. And too many people just, I don't know, it's false hope, I guess. I mean, I don't know what it is, how to even describe it, but some people are just hopeless. And they got so much, and they create these scenarios in their mind. All they got to do is do this, and all they got to do is add this player, and all they got to do is just cut down the turnovers and the pass interference calls. And if we just do this right, if we can get healthy, we can do – it's a lot of ifs. There's so many fans who have so many ifs. If this, if that, coulda, woulda, shoulda, all these hypotheticals. But when you sit down and watch the product on television as a lifelong, sophisticated football fan, I just watch these things and I'm like, no, this ain't it. Good football teams don't do shit like this. Good football teams don't make these mistakes. Good football teams don't airball the NFL draft on a regular basis the way the 49ers have. Good football teams aren't this stupid. Don't have these clock management issues. Good football teams, a good coach wouldn't have thrown that challenge flag that Kyle Shanahan threw. A good coach would have known better. Like, you start seeing all the telltale signs of a bad football team. That's what the 49ers have, and that's what they are, a bad football team. But on the flip side of that, as a podcaster, it provides a lot of good content. It makes for a good podcast. At least I hope so anyway. It's not for me to judge or for me to say if it was a good podcast or not. That's for you, the listener, and I appreciate you, the listener, very much so. Always humble, very much appreciative, eternally grateful, all the above. This is once again Deion Tyree Gordon signing off for the Deion Gordon Podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.